Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Again, from the Gospel of St. John, the 10th chapter, in which Jesus speaks of himself as the Good Shepherd, at the beginning of that, toward the end of that chapter, as our Gospel reading today, I'll read just a part of it again. At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. And so the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not a part of my flock." This is God's word. Please be seated. It was winter, so perhaps the weather was inclement in Jerusalem that day. Drizzly, cool, rainy, maybe kind of like today. And so Jesus and his disciples were gathering together underneath Solomon's colonnade, that long portico along the east side of the temple courtyard. And the Jews gathered around Jesus, John tells us, which sounds rather innocuous until you realize that the Greek verb there for gathered around implies hostility in the New Testament. Jesus used that same verb to gather around or to surround when he talked about and prophesied the day when Jerusalem would be surrounded by the armies of Rome and would be torn down to the ground. The Jews did not just gather around Jesus that day. They surrounded him to menace and to intimidate. So what's happening here in the temple that day is really Psalm 22. Verse 12 says, "Many bulls encompass me, and the strong bulls of Bashan surround me." And then verse 16, "For dogs encompass me, and a company of evildoers surround me and encircle me." So if you can imagine yourself surrounded by a herd of strong bulls, and then add to that mix a pack of snarling German shepherds, you've got a little bit of a feel for what was happening to Jesus that day under Solomon's colonnade. Not that our Lord was afraid, but the intent was to intimidate. And they ask him a question. "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." As if he had been keeping it a secret. He said, "I did tell you, and my words and my works bear testimony, but you refuse to believe because you're not part of my flock." Now, were these bulls and these dogs surrounding Jesus really in eager suspense as to whether Jesus might be the long-awaited Messiah? No. They had already made up their minds about Jesus, that he was a messianic imposter, and they were out to nail him. What I find interesting here is that this group of Jews that surrounded Jesus believed that they were the custodians of truth. And therefore, anyone who was critical of them, like Jesus had been, was a trafficker in lies and blasphemies. And they believed that to oppose Jesus, and even to eliminate Jesus, was to do the work of God on earth. Like so many sincere religious people, they prized the truth. They really did. Their problem, as Jesus always tried to tell them, was that the truth that they prized had been concocted in their own hearts and minds and was not based on the words of God. As Jesus once had said, they teach the commandments of men as though they were the doctrines of God. So Jesus tells them the true truth. The truth that is based in Scripture, that He is the Good Shepherd, who was charged by the Father in heaven to lay down His life for the sheep, and then to take up His life again so that He could be the door through which the sheep could go in and out and find good pasture and salvation. But they would not listen to the shepherd of their souls. Instead, they surround Him to intimidate and to menace. Really, it's the height of irony. Believing themselves to be the curators of truth, the reality of the day was that they were trying to silence the truth. So in response, Jesus answers their question. He says, I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. And then in perhaps the biggest truth bomb that has ever exploded on planet Earth, Jesus says to them, point blank, I and the Father are one. Now that's all these bulls and these dogs needed to hear that day. And they immediately pick up stones in order to stone Him to death on the spot, because as they said, He is making Himself out to be God. Oh, they really did hear the truth that day, and they understood what it implied, but they steadfastly refused to believe it. They had their own truth. And this Jesus of Nazareth was not about to convince them otherwise. And they would have arrested Jesus on the spot and killed Him that very day, except that, as John says later in the chapter, He escaped from their hands. Soon enough, these folks would have their way with Jesus, but not today. This was not His day to die. Now, seems to me that more and more in this world in which we live, Christ's people are starting to feel what our Lord felt that day under Solomon's colonnade. What it's like to be surrounded by the strong bulls and the snarling dogs of a world that more and more despises our Good Shepherd. A world of people who have concocted their own truth according to the dictates of their own feelings and their priorities, and who want nothing to do with the truth that has been given to us as the Word of God in the flesh. And more, they've got us surrounded. Over here are those political candidates and those university professors and those tech giants who all espouse this new morality that all things are acceptable and must be tolerated, except, of course, for those who believe that some things are sinful or that biblical marriage, for example, is a good thing. No, those people cannot be tolerated. They are not acceptable. They are evil, hateful people. They need to be silenced and marginalized. And then over here, There are the purveyors of the abortions who tell us that anyone who would try to protect the life of an unborn child is a misogynist, a hater of women. And then don't forget over here, also surrounding us are all the icons of our culture, celebrities from Hollywood and TV and news and entertainment industry that almost universally despise Christ as He's known to us in the Scriptures and despise His people, and who love to paint Christians as intolerant bigots. Oh, and look over your shoulder, because there you see the violent extremists who are persecuting our brothers and our sisters in the faith, bombing their churches on Easter Sunday, wiping out entire villages of Christians. And then, as if that's not bad enough, We even have it coming from within the church. Religious leaders under the cross of Jesus Christ who tell us that we don't really need Christ and that all religions lead to God. It's the very thing that Paul warned the elders of Ephesus about, that fierce wolves will come among you and from among yourselves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples. And they tell us that scriptures are outdated, can't be trusted. Mind you, all of these people sincerely believe they are the custodians of truth, and that to oppose Christ of the scriptures and his apostles and his people is to do the work of God on earth. The church of Jesus Christ more and more is becoming that little flock that is surrounded by threatening wolves, and it would be very easy for us to become frightened and fearful and discouraged and to withdraw ourselves into our little sheep pen and not venture out into the world and risk incurring the world's wrath by saying too much. How did Jesus, our shepherds, how did he stand up to that kind of pressure? How did he keep his cool when he was surrounded by those who hated him and opposed him and even wanted him dead? The answer is really simple. Jesus knew the words and the promises of his Father. And he knew that it was not only his enemies who had him surrounded, but that even more closely surrounding him was his Father in heaven and the hosts of the angels. Just listen to some of these promises, because these are the promises that sustained our Lord when he was surrounded. Psalm 32, verse 7. You, O Lord, you are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Psalm 125, verse 2. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. Psalm 139, verse 5. O Lord, you hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. And then listen to how King David taught us to pray in Psalm 17. He said, O Lord, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who would do me violence, from the deadly enemies who surround me. When the bulls and the dogs had the Lord surrounded, he knew full well they could do him no harm, since the Father had him surrounded even more closely. Friends, these are the promises of our Good Shepherd that we are going to need to rely upon more and more and more in the years and decades ahead. It's the voice that we need to hear ever more faithfully as the world becomes more and more spiteful of our Good Shepherd and surrounds his people with threatening intent. Oh, we are surrounded. We are surrounded by the Lord and by the hosts of the angels of heaven that are at his command. Do you remember 2 Kings chapter 6? The army of Syria had the Israelite city of Dothan completely surrounded. And Elisha and his servant woke up in the morning, and Elisha's servant saw that they were surrounded, and he was absolutely terrified at what was going to happen next. And then in verse 17, Elisha prayed, and he said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. And so the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. That was the hosts of heaven protecting God's people. The Lord had his people surrounded. so that no matter what happened to them that day, no ultimate harm could be inflicted upon them. I'm reminded of Psalm 27, verse 3. Though an army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident. Such was our Lord's confidence when he was surrounded that day under Solomon's colonnade. Such was Stephen's confidence when he was surrounded by those who stoned him to death. Such was Peter and John's confidence when they were surrounded in the temple and arrested for preaching Jesus Christ. And such is our confidence that when the world has got us surrounded with evil intent, our God surrounds us even more closely, and he will deliver us from every evil attempt and will bring us safely to his heavenly kingdom, even as he raised from the dead the shepherd of our souls and gave us eternal life. Have no fear, little flock. The Father has chosen to give you the kingdom. Have no fear, little flock. Have good cheer, little flock. Have good cheer, for the Father will keep you in his love forever. Have good cheer, little flock. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.